W8FU.
W8F Contest. Alright, W8FSM. Or W8FU, W8FU, W8FSM.
What is a direct client?
It's me.
I know it was you, but I was wondering what the direct client was.
It's a direct client hanging around my neck. WFSM? Woo!
W8FU, AB here.
Yo.
Hey, where in the Motorola software was that thing about the, that carrier that's in the background? You know, like, I am hearing the, on the repeater frequency, a weak signal, and I'm thinking I want to change that. Where was that located? Where you set the frequency, I think it's RF configuration or something like that. And there'll be a transmit frequency, receive frequency, and then there'll be idle frequency. You want to just set the idle, 12.5 or 25 up or down.
Okay. Oh, it's doing a reset here. Hold on. Okay. So that's, let's see here. Is that our station configuration? Wait a minute, no, that's got the right number. Let's see. Channel information. Oh, there it is. Okay. Transmit idle. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yep, just move that off. I usually just put it 25 kilohertz up or down from your output. No, that way you don't have to hear it.
Oh, okay. 25K is enough, you think?
Yeah, that's all I've ever done. If I change it. Sometimes I don't even change it, but if I do, 25 is enough.
Okay, let's see here. Oh, I hit the wrong button. Oh, it just reset it. Okay, so I got to do that. Okay, let's see. Okay. All right, let's see if that fixes it. Yeah, I'm still hearing it doing. Oh, I guess I got to write that. I guess, right?
Yeah, you got to upload it to the repeater.
Yeah, it's weird. Some controls are immediate and some you have to write. It's weird.
The operational controls are immediate. Those are in a different section. Those are like, you know, tuning and operational controls. But all the stuff in the, you know, in the parameters have to be written.
Okay. All right. That seems to have done it. All right. Thank you. Just go through. What about, now I noticed there's other things like, let's see here, wait a minute. Oh, I gotta, do I have to read this again now? Yeah, I gotta read it again. There's things like for doing adjustments of the various receive functions and deviation and stuff. Is that worth going through or not mess with it?
I generally don't monkey around with any of those. Most of those are going to be wireline, which isn't, you know, doesn't have any bearing. You know, I just basically do a reference oscillator and, you know, and then touch up the receiver. And that's about it. The power, I usually make sure power is right. But the rest of the stuff is usually pretty much on and not worth the aggravation of going through it.
Yeah, like there's one I'm looking at here, preselector, and it's got two frequencies, like one around 418 and one around 454. It says, connect the unmodulated RF signal of minus 70 dBm to the antenna connector and start the calibration. What do you think that does?
If you have, you know, multiple ones of these, like satellite receivers and whatnot, and you're using some sort of voting, you have to have a calibrated RSSI. And I think what you're doing there is you're putting in a known fixed level, and you're telling it what that represents. And, you know, so you're not going to be doing anything that requires a calibrated RSSI reading. So, you can do it, but to what end?
Well, there is a, that's under the receiver section, and then that's the preselector. Then there's also, right under there, there's an RSSI button, which, again, don't need to mess with, obviously. Then there's a squelch, let's see here. Oh, that's just controlling the squelch, okay. That doesn't do anything special. And then there's a transmitter section. There's power amplifier, transmitter deviation, reference modulation, auxiliary, I know that, we're not going to worry about that. But for transmit deviation, it's got all these different frequencies where you're supposed to put in these values. I think you hit on that when we were there, and you said just leave them alone. Is that right?
Yeah, unless you're having a problem, I wouldn't touch them. You know, it's a lot of work for virtually no gain, unless you're having an issue. But I'm sure you won't. I've yet to see one with an issue in that department.
Okay. Alrighty then. Just playing around here. I'm just sitting here on the bench. So, it's on the same frequency as the repeater right now, but no PL or anything. So, it's just learning more about it. I got everything, all the connections working and everything, so I just got to get that card, and I think it's going to come Tuesday. And I can get the controller interfaced, and then I can throw it back in there.
Yeah, it's a nice piece of equipment. What did they get for that card, by the way?
70.
Oh, I think you told me that. That's not bad at all. Did you get a price for the those RTCM cards?
No. I didn't get too much into it with them. I don't know enough about it to have a discussion, so I just thought I'd let you know, and you could talk to them if you want to.
Yeah, no, I'm just curious what the price point's going to be, you know, if it's going to be a savings. or whatnot. I'll probably buy three of them when he's got them available, and then, you know, guinea pig them here, because I've got a full MTR set up here, so I could definitely utilize them. So we shall see. The only thing is going to be a challenge is if I go for the onboard GPS. Because right now I'm remoting my GPS so that I don't have to have really, really long GPS antenna leads. And because I've got one of my, about 75 foot to get to an outside view of the sky. So I'd rather move the GPS unit out to within a normal GPS antenna length of the outside, then try to run the antenna that distance, with all the at those frequencies and the loss and everything with that RG174 type cable. So that would be the only thing, but the onboard GPS is intriguing as well. But anyhow, I digress. I'll look into it. I'll check with him and see what he's going to charge for those.
All right, sounds good. Okay. All right. I'm going to get back to it. Talk to you later. AVPR.
Dolby, you got a few.